Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat. I'm Lisa, and today we have Chris, Bob, and Steve joining us. Welcome, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Governor.
You're chipper.
Nice. Yes. I'm sorry, was this not the Epcot World Tour episode?
No, it's not. We're saving that for a future show.
Darn. I'm early.
Yes, you are. But I would like to point out that you are listening to Mouse Chat. We are nominated for the Podcast Awards 2012. We're a nominee.
Yeah, so you can vote for us for Best Travel Podcast over at podcastawards.com. You just scroll down the page. We're all the way down at the bottom under Travel and click Mouse Chat and then submit your vote. You can vote anywhere between November 1st and the 15th every day, once per day.
And you put in your name and your email address because they're going to send you a confirmation. And so you'll get it immediately. So you just click on the little link that says, okay, your vote counts. And clearly a lot of you have voted for us, which is absolutely phenomenal. So at least nominated us. So we so appreciate that. And so now if you can vote, who knows? Who knows what'll happen?
Well, Bob already told me I could shave his head if we win.
Wow.
That's true. Yeah. Yes. I told her we could live stream it too.
Is Lou, I don't think Lou Mangiello would shave his head.
No.
Probably not. See, this is the dedication that we have.
He's
the
so used to winning.
That we have.
It'd be tough. It's hard to beat Lou.
Yeah. But, you know, David, you know, beat Goliath.
This is true.
You know, root for the underdog. We're Rudy. Everybody loves Rudy.
Rudy.
Rudy shave his head to win.
Well, I don't know if Rudy would shave his head to win, but I'll shave
hated
my
that
head
movie.
To win.
My husband watched that movie like 52 times.
Oh, no, no.
My girlfriend was in it.
Really?
He was in one of the mob scenes.
Yeah, I hated it.
Yeah.
I was like, give it up, Rudy. Football isn't everything.
Find your strength in life and prosper with that.
So many things I could say, but I'm just not going to.
Thank you.
But we still will shave my head. I'll let Chris shave my head.
Thank you.
You know, that's actually a little more exciting.
It is. Yeah, so we could do it live. We could release a special podcast and
live from Florida.
Head.
We'd have to do it from Disney World.
I'm there a lot.
All right. So Bob will shave his head.
I think we should do it preemptively.
So you just have to go to podcastawards.com, vote for Mouse Chat. If by some chance we win, then this is on tape that Chris is going to shave Bob's head.
Totally. I think we should do it in the middle of Main Street or something. You could do that.
Well, you could put a Mickey Mouse in there.
You could get the Dapper Dans to sing along.
That'd be awesome, actually.
We could make this into a huge production.
There you go.
Yeah. I wonder if Disney frowns upon people having their head shaved in the middle of Main Street.
Well, we
could go anywhere
they'll
allow us.
We could do it in front of, Casey's. There's those little tables over there.
Bob likes Casey's.
That's while the guy plays the piano.
Yeah.
Maple leaf rag. You know,
it'd be special.
It would be awesome. And if anyone questions, I could tell them that I'm donating my hair to Locks of Love.
Yeah.
Yeah, all half an inch of it.
That's right. I mean, it's practically gone as it is, so there's not really much to shave.
I was going to say, we need to get Chris to shave our head.
Oh, I don't know about that.
That would have meaning.
That'd be scary.
It really would, but my hair's so bad anyway. Maybe it would grow back prettier.
But no, I mean, I absolutely will allow Chris to shave my head. Heck, if we have a chance at winning, I'll let a fan shave my head.
Oh, that's even better. We could have like a little auction.
Oh, boy.
Okay. With like proceeds going to, you know, Give Kids the World or something.
Okay.
Yeah, I could do that. I'm totally game for just about anything. I mean, I won't dress in drag or anything like that. But
good luck finding shoes in your size.
Yeah, they're from the Janet Reno collection.
Nice.
So what? Too soon?
Ouch! 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 Ouch!
But no, that is true. I have very large feet. But no, I'm totally dedicated to the cause. So.
What about
whatever
Steve?
It takes.
I'm not.
I don't know. Is Steve? Are you?
I'll videotape the shaving of the head.
Yeah, could we get Steve's head shaved? That would be so great.
You know
great.
What? I'm not terribly in favor of that.
Yeah.
Hey, and I mean, what's on this week's show? What are we doing this week?
Oh, we could announce the topic.
That's right.
Yeah.
This week, I haven't done that yet. This week, we're going to be talking about Fantasyland expansion. Hooray!
Yay!
Bob and Chris have both made their way over there in the last couple of weeks and have gotten privy to a preview. So they're going to tell us all about it, from dining to attractions to shows, shops, things, everything that's going on over there, characters, food. Why don't we start off with food? Because that's what we love to talk about.
Yes.
Tell us about it. Let's see. Chris, what do you have to say?
Okay, there's a couple of things. I mean, the last time we talked about Storybook Circus, which really is not part of the newer part. I think a lot of listeners have probably already been there. But they added Big Top souvenirs, and there's a little place in there where they sell cupcakes and candy corn and things like that. Super cute. Definitely a nice addition. But as you walk into the main part of the Fantasyland expansion, which is the Fantasyland Forest, you get to go to a couple different places. You can go to, of course, Be Our Guest restaurant, which none of us have eaten at yet. We're eating there on the 19th of November. But you can also go into Gaston's Tavern, which has a very limited menu. It's just got drinks and it's got pastries, but it also has the pork shank, which, of course, is like the most fun thing you can ever order, because it has a funny name and it also happens to be pretty good. So I had one. It's kind of greasy.
Well, I mean,
so it's kind of greasy. Is that good or bad?
I liked it.
I mean, so it's basically like a large slab of meat with a bone coming out of it, right? I mean,
yeah, what could be better, right? No, it is, you know, it's sort of almost like a roasted pork. And if you've ever had pulled pork like we have in North Carolina, people really love that here. It's sort of like that, only, of course, it's not chopped up or pulled. But it tastes kind of like that. You know, it's got a little bit of a smoky taste. And you know, Steve, it was actually really good. And I think one of the things that people don't like about the turkey leg, which has a similar taste, is that, you know, you get into it and it's all that bones and little gross, disgusting things that you bite into. That's not in the pork shank.
Mm.
I was going to say that turkey leg has that like little red, like gaminess to it. You know, that I don't know.
Well,
it's like
red, the redness is from being smoked too, right?
I don't know.
Are you not an expert on smoked meat?
I'm an expert on many things, Chris, but I don't think smoked meat is one of them.
Well, okay. That red stuff just means it's done.
Okay, and so, I've truly never been able to finish a turkey leg.
Really? Well, you might be able to finish the pork shank. It's pretty big, though. I mean, it's bigger. It's more meat than the turkey leg. Mm. But you know what it needs? It needs some mashed potatoes and gravy.
It doesn't come with any sides, right? It's just...
No, they don't have anything in there. They don't even have barbecue sauce.
So where is this at? This is at the tavern, at Gaston's Tavern?
That's at Gaston's Tavern, yeah.
Go ahead. I was going to say, is it a dining credit or like a snack credit or?
You know, I don't know. I would imagine it's a snack credit, but a quick service credit. Well, it can't even be because they don't have anything to really go with it. I don't remember seeing the dining plan thing on there. You know, maybe one of our listeners can tell us. But, you know, I mean, there's not a heck of a lot in there. There's, you know, the usual Coke products. There's that, LeFou's Brew, which of course we've talked about before. And there's, you know, a big cinnamon roll, like it's as big as your head. So.
And that's barely an exaggeration. It really is a big cinnamon roll. And at $4 is totally a good deal.
There's just not a heck of a lot in there. And I asked John Frost from the Disney blog, because I met up with him one night when I was there. And I said, are they going to add more? And he said, no, you know, based on, you know, the footprint of it, of this, you know, quick service location won't really allow it. So it's too bad because it kind of needs a little bit more there, I think.
A little bit more in the way of food?
Yeah, of variety? Options. Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's very small. I mean, you walk in and there's like a couple places to order from. There's a small dining area on your left, and then on your right, there's a slightly larger with a fake fireplace, and there's a little alcove where you can sit if you have a larger table of people. I mean, it's very pretty inside, and it's very well done, and of course, it has antlers everywhere, but it's small, and the menu is very small as well. But, you know, one thing they did, it was very clever. They sort of, you know, all of the plaster is aged. And so it really does, you know, I mean, obviously they have sort of the kitschy kind of Gaston touches that make it look kind of cartoony. But for the most part, I mean, you look around in there and it really does look like an old building. I mean, they did an awesome job of that entire area.
I would agree. The theming inside Gaston's Tavern from the, you know, heads of trophy animals that he's killed to the dart board on the wall, yeah. You know, to the cracks in the plaster, to the tables. You really do get a sense that you're dining in a tavern, but it is a very limited menu. I will give it that. I think the attraction there is going to be people trying the Lufu's brew and people trying the pork shank, which, Chris, you're saying is better than a turkey leg.
Yeah,
because you know me, I'm not a fan of the turkey leg.
I think a lot of people will like it better. Like I said, the one objection you consistently hear about the turkey leg is that of all of the little bones and everything that's in it. And you don't have that with this. You just have one, you know, one large bone and that's about it. Yeah. So and honestly, it does taste really good. I mean, there's like a little like a salt and pepper rub with maybe a tiny bit of garlic salt or something on the outside, and you know, it's good. I liked it. It was greasy, though. I did drop it on my pants. I got a big stain.
Oh.
Yeah. I was like, because, you know, they give you these little plastic forks to eat it with. I guess you could, in theory, eat it with your hand because they give you, you know, like parchment paper to hold it. But, you know, obviously I'm not going to walk around holding a huge chunk of pork and eat
no,
it.
Knowing you, though, you probably had that little purse-size stain remover in your little shout.
No,
container.
I didn't. And I went around like that all day. My husband made fun of me because I was actually supposed to meet up with my family, and my husband had the kids at Tom Sawyer Island. And I kind of was like, oh my God, it's open. I need to go in there. And so I got one. I didn't even tell him about it. And then I came back and I'm like, I have a confession. I have, you know, have grease on my pants. I probably had greasy lips. It's very greasy.
Now, is any other food options open right now, or is are those?
That's
the,
it. That's it. Yeah, it looks. There's one spot that looks like it's a little, you know, drink booth or something as you first walk in, but that's not open yet.
Right. Well, Maurice's, there's a popcorn cart there, Maurice's popping yeah. machine, and that I think has limited beverages and popcorn. Now, I did see the other day that Be Our Guest restaurant was opening. I don't think it's opening every day. I don't know. It's. I think it's selective right now.
They've let when it's people opening, in.
They've let people in for lunch. Yeah, so they are testing their lunch
dinner.
Menu.
They've let people in for dinner too, Bob.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they are on a limited basis, letting people in. But that's on again. No reservations needed for lunch. So if you're lucky enough and it's open and they're serving, that is, you know, something you can do. And then dinner again is just, I guess, walk up because they're not taking reservations for it. I guess it's just for them to learn the ropes and get some yeah. experience before the official opening on the 19th.
So Be Our Guest is it's set up where lunch is a quick service and then dinner is table service.
Correct. Yes. You've got three rooms within Be Our Guest restaurant. You've got the ballroom, which is as soon as you walk in, elegantly styled. It's got the dome ceiling, twinkling chandeliers. The back windows have a view of softly falling snow. So you really get this impression that you're, you know, in the mountains. And then you've got the mysterious west wing featuring the enchanted rose. And if you look, you know, if you stand there watching, petals will fall off the rose, and the portrait on the wall is you see the beast's claw marks across it, and it transforms from time to time from the picture of the prince into the beast, and it switches back and forth.
Huh. That's cool.
And then available open for lunch only, you've got the Rose Gallery with the twirling larger-than-life figurine of Belle and Beast. And, of course, for lunchtime, guests can sit in any of the three dining rooms, and the food will be brought to them. But, you know, when it comes to dinner, it's either going to be in the ballroom or the mysterious West Wing. And, you know, guests will not get to choose for dinner where they sit. It's just wherever they're seated, they are going to be seated. Interestingly enough, too, about the Rose Gallery with that larger-than-life figurine of Belle and Beast, the story goes that this was a gift from Maurice to Beast and Belle for, I guess, their wedding. But if you go into Maurice's cottage, on the wall of his workshop are drawings and sketches for the parts that actually make, you know, that are basically the design for that larger-than-life figurine.
Oh, that's cool.
And yes, and you can buy, so you, if you so choose, within Bonjour Village Gifts, which we'll get to a little bit, you can actually buy a smaller version of that figurine. So, kind of neat. I like how they kind of tied it all in together.
Now, now it is not character dining? Is that
it
correct?
Is not. Okay. At this point, at least, it is not character dining, which I think surprises a bunch of people.
Yeah, because everybody thought that there was going to be,
you know, even after it came
Lumiere
out that there wasn't,
or like on a table, you know, like yeah. Remy, you know, where they pushed Lumiere around, or
well, didn't Disney tell people that was what was going to happen?
Well, yeah,
I
we
mean,
did
it
hear
wasn't
that.
Just yeah. yeah, it wasn't just like people gossiping. Wink, wink. It was, you know, yeah. it was Disney, and maybe that'll happen eventually. I actually got to go into the quick service ordering area, which I thought was pretty neat. And it's a lot like all of your quick serve restaurants where you have, you know, like on one side they have checkout places, but on the other they have the little ordering screen. But instead of sort of just this very pedestrian sort of, you know, ordering screen, it's all dark wood and it's kind of fancy and everything. So it's a different experience, and the room itself is actually gorgeous. Where you do your ordering, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of in contrast to the fact that, you know, you're actually ordering your own food and getting quick service. But, I haven't seen this, but I heard you get a little plastic rose about the size of a hockey puck. And when you go to your table, it actually cues the server to bring your food to you.
Correct. Yeah.
So, huh.
So you're ordering yeah. at a kiosk. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
You're ordering like at a little, yeah, just like, for example, you go to Pico's Bills and, you know, they have those little computer screens.
Uh-huh.
And then you take your order, you take your slip, and then you go pay for it. But instead of going up to a big counter where they serve you the, you know, food, instead you go find your table, you sit down, and there's a RFID chip in the rows, and it lets the server know, oh, at this table they've ordered, you know, the gray stuff or whatever.
The grace.
Ask the dishes. Sorry.
Well, and it's actually, it's funny that Chris would mention the gray stuff. Now, the gray stuff is not on the menu. It's not something you can order for either lunch or dinner. But randomly at lunch, you know, at the end of their meal, and I'm sure this is going to happen at dinner as well, people have been getting a dish of gray stuff. And it says, you know, try the gray stuff on it. It's got a little foil stamp on it. And the gray stuff to me looks like, it kind of looks like mousse, basically. I don't know. Chris and I were talking about this earlier, and she thought that it might be like an Oreo mousse.
I think it was. I think that the chef who – I think it was on the Disney Parks blog or some official Disney blog, they said that's what it was. It was crushed up Oreos with some sort of whipped cream mixed in. I'll be okay.
It's, yeah, I'm sure it's very good. I think it's a cute touch and a nice ending to a meal. And the fact that, you know, you might get it or you might not get it, I think adds a little something special to mm-hmm. to the whole thing. I mean, just being inside is, again, the theming, just like in Gaston's Tavern, the theming inside Be Our Guest restaurant is incredible. You know, you go up to these, you know, you cross the bridge, you know, and you've got these lampposts with the gargoyles and, you know, this beautiful stained glass window and big wooden doors. And they open up and you walk inside and you know, it smells like a castle, but it looks like a castle. I mean, you definitely feel like you are inside Beast Castle, and you've got these giant gargoyles on each side holding up, you know, this archway that you're going to cross into, and there in front of you is the main ballroom. Down the hall on your right-hand side is where you're going to order quick service and stuff, and you've got these suits of armor on either side of the walls, and if you listen closely, you'll hear them, you know, occasionally whisper or laugh a little bit. So, again, just amazing, nice touches. And one of the other things that you see both in Gaston's and in Be Our Guest is the use of music. So as you're walking up to, I noticed Be Our Guest, when I saw it, they were playing Tale as Old as Time outside. You know, and while in Gaston's, the music was very upbeat and chipper and very, the bravado type music, you know, the hunter, the brave character, you know, of Gaston. So it was interesting how that carried through from, you know,
yeah,
you know.
What about, so you were talking a little bit about kind of the theme and the music and all that. And I know when we were at Cars Land at Disneyland, the one thing I liked is you're like immersed in that environment and you're like there. You can look all the way around and all you see is, you know, Route 66 and the rock work and everything from the Cars Land movie. Is that a similar experience at Fantasyland once all the construction is done?
I thought so too. I mean, maybe not as much as Cars Land, only because Cars Land is so much bigger. And, you know, within the new Fantasyland, you have, you know, Journey of the Little Mermaid. And you know, then you're going to have eventually when all is said and done, you're going to have the Snow White mine car attraction as well. But when you're walking through the Enchanted Forest and you can hear different birds, you know, and there's the waterfall running and the beautiful river underneath and trees everywhere. It was very impressive. I mean, you do feel like you're in France in a little village.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, and the effect of the forced perspective works very well. So you can be at, you know, Maurice's cottage and look up and there's the castle, you know, for Be Our Guest. And it looks far away, which is just a really neat effect. I mean, I know it's an optical illusion and a trick, but it works. They pull it off very, very well. And, you know, the other details that I'm sure Chris noticed as well, moss on the rocks, lampposts look weathered. The coat of arms on Beast Castle as you walk up, the gate is all rusty, the coat of arms is rusted. So it looks like it's been there a while and maybe it's been neglected a little bit.
Yeah, it'll be nice when all the trees fill in a year or so and you can really get back in there. I like France over at Epcot because you can kind of get away, you go to that pastry shop, you can have a pastry and just kind of sit down and relax.
Look at the Eiffel Tower.
I can go over here and get my pork shank. Maybe they need a dessert place.
They probably do need a dessert place, or to offer something more than perhaps a cinnamon roll.
It'd be nice to sit outside somewhere in that. From what I'm picturing in my mind, from what you're describing, it'd be nice to sit outside somewhere and have a dessert and have a drink and just kind of
little cafe table.
Yeah,
you know, I think that eventually you'll probably see, you know, plenty of room for seating and stuff like that. I like how over in Storybook Circus, you know, there's nowhere to sit inside Big Top Souvenirs, but you can go get a cupcake and then there's actually a really nice use of space right outside. There's a huge area with tables and more snack carts just right outside of that. And hopefully there'll be something like that over in the other part.
I hope they don't make it too much like France, Epcot's France.
No, I don't think you'll see
any of
that.
Do you not like the French?
Boy.
No, I'm kidding.
Mon Dieu.
Nobody likes the French. It's okay.
No, the French are fine.
No, they're awesome. Oui, oui.
Oui, oui. but I was wondering, you know, if it's too much like Epcot, I don't know, two same places in two different places.
I don't think it's going to look anything like Epcot. I mean, it certainly doesn't look anything
no,
like
no, it's not provincial. Epcot's yeah, not provincial.
Epcot kind of, you know, I mean, it sort of is meant to look like a city, whereas yeah. this definitely looks like a village. And I loved that, you know, like the theming is so fantastic. You know, I spent a lot of time in Europe and I love the older buildings and everything. And some of the buildings in the Fantasyland expansion really do, like, you could just sort of look at them and think, wow, this is just like some little tiny alpine town. You know, and even the bathroom, if you go to the back, and Bob, I don't know if you saw the bathrooms, but if you go past Gaston's Tavern and you see the bathrooms, like, it really does look like this 300-year-old wall.
Mm-hmm. I took pictures inside.
Yeah.
Of
it's
the,
awesome.
The,
oh,
the,
did
the,
you really?
The, yes, I did. Much to the chagrin of people who were using the bathroom at the time. but you know, if you're going to have your pants down, you know, it's your own fault is what I say. You know, what were they thinking, honestly?
Yeah, you know,
right, exactly. I mean, there are kids around. Please, you know, pull your pants up. But yeah, even the lights, you know, hanging in the bathroom, I noticed look very old and stately. And yeah, I mean, they could have just easily made bathrooms look like, you know, modern day bathrooms. But I think they realized that would take people out of that immersive environment that you see at Cars Land, you know, and you know, it wouldn't look like a village anymore. So they kept it very much the same. So yes, it looks like an old style French quaint village. It's yeah. wonderful. That whole section of Be Our Guest and whatnot.
I think if you're gonna have any complaints, it's the transition from Belle's Village to Journey of the Little Mermaid, because it's fairly abrupt. And, you know, Disney's pretty good. Like, when you walk from Fantasyland into Liberty Square, for example, you really do get that transition as you go under that little arch and you come out and you're like, oh, it's a totally different area. But you don't get that in Fantasyland Forest. It's just all of a sudden there. And you do notice little details, like, you know, instead of, you start seeing shells in the, you know, walkways and stuff like that, like implanted, and little tiny details. But overall, I think it's not the best transition.
Yeah, I would agree. Abrupt is a very good word for it. Because like you said, it's right there. And Prince Eric's Castle is, which is the queue line for the Journey Under the Sea, you know, Voyage of the, whatever, the Journey Under the Sea, I think is what it's called, attraction.
Is there, I don't know. I get confused. I keep wanting to call it the Forbidden Journey.
wrong
which
part.
Which is totally, yeah.
yeah wrong part, yeah. Try the butterbeer. you know, but the Little Mermaid attraction within New Fantasyland, we'll just call it that. Prince Eric's Castle, which serves as the queue line. Again, wonderful, amazing theming, just the details that are captured there from, you know, the shale and the rock work and the again, the iron that looks weathered and rusted, like it's been sitting there exposed to the elements of the sea air and all of that for years, is beautifully done. The waterfall falling, it's all captured perfectly, but it's right next to the forest area that makes up Belle's Village, and there's no transition whatsoever.
Yeah.
So you just kind of run into it. So that is interesting. That is one negative. The other negative I did notice with Belle's Village area is. Surrounding Maurice's cottage, which is the Enchanted Tales with Belle, which we've talked about previously on a prior podcast, you sit outside, you know, you have to stand in line outside, and there's very little shade. And you could be standing in line for 20, 30 plus minutes. Now, 6 months, a year, the trees will grow in, it'll probably be a lot better, it'll block out some of the sun. But I think it's good that right now it's opening in November when it's cooler, because 20 minutes in the heat when I saw it was enough.
Yeah.
You know, it was totally exposed to the elements. And that's the other thing. If it rains, you're going to be standing in line totally exposed. So there's very little coverage. So I don't know if that's going to be addressed in the future, or, you know, how they're going to work with that. But just, you know, and again, the reason you wait so long is because they only have two of these rooms running, doing these shows. And they can only fit, you know, a limited number of people in them, probably 50, 60 at a time, I would say. So it's just slow going. And when you have hundreds of people waiting in line, it takes some time.
So Maurice's Cottage is where you see – is where
Enchanted
the...
Tales with Belle.
Okay. And that's kind and of that's... like an interactive –
Yeah, it's kind of like an inner. Yeah, it's you know, I don't want to go over it fully again, just because I know we've covered it before. But yeah, it's the interactive meet and greet. You go through Maurice's cottage, and you get to see where Belle and Maurice lived, and all the intricate details there. And it's again beautifully captured by the Imagineers, all the little details everywhere. And then you go into Maurice's workshop, and you see this magic mirror. And a cast member explains, you know, this is the mirror that was given to Maurice so that he could visit Belle and Beast anytime he wanted to. It would transport him to the castle, and it also has the ability to bring you back to any point in time. And, you know, you were going to use it that day to go back to the moment when Belle and Beast first met. And, you know, there's this magical special effect with the mirror turning into a doorway, and then you walk into, quote unquote, the castle. Now, you're not actually walking into the same castle that Be Our Guest is in. It's just made to look like a castle. The draw here is not so much, I don't think, the show itself, which is a glorified meet and greet. And, you know, unless you have a young child, you know, this is probably not a show that you're going to go to again and again. I mean, you are not the target audience. The attraction here and why you would want to see it at least once is the animatronics. The enchanted armoire, which, you know, gives out the roles to everybody that wants a part, you know, from you're going to be the Beast, and oh, we need people to play the knights, you know, the suits of armor, and we need people to play the footstool and you know, Maurice and this and that. I, you know, the eyes blinking and how animated this, for lack of a better term, how animated this animated enchanted armoire is incredible. And then, you know, as if that wasn't enough, you get called into the library, and there's Lumiere, and he's even more amazing. I don't know how they got him to do what he does, but he talks, and the, you know, the eyes move, and the lips work perfectly in sync with what he's saying, and he's moving his candlestick arms as he talks for emphasis.
Oh, that's cool.
And yeah, it's incredible to watch. I mean, that's the attraction for, you know, I think most people to see it at least one time. But like I said, the target audience for that show, and I think really to a large degree, for the new Fantasyland is not people who don't have children. You know, I don't have kids, so, you know, I don't see myself heading to New Fantasyland regularly and saying, oh, I need to see Enchanted Tales with Belle, or I need to ride the Little Mermaid attraction.
Now, Chris, did you ride Little Mermaid in, now we rode it in Disneyland.
Yes.
And is it the exact same attraction with the, I know the queue line's definitely a lot better at Disney World.
I think the attraction itself is the same, although to me, you know, in the end scene where you see, you know, the wedding and everything, and to me that looks smaller in Disney World than it did in Disneyland, but, you know, I'm probably mistaken. But yeah, I mean, it was pretty much exactly the same. They need to work out some of the audio. The audio is very quirky right now, and I thought it was just me, but other people were talking about how, you know, you had sort of sounds and songs bleeding into the other rooms. Some were very loud and others were at a more normal, level. But I'm sure they've worked that out by now. I mean, this is just the testing phase. But the queue is really the greatest part of this attraction because, the attraction itself is nice, but the queue is, you know how the Finding Nemo queue is super long and you're like, I'm never going to get out of here. Well, the one for Little Mermaid is long like that, only there's plenty to see. Like everywhere you go, first you walk in and there's an outdoor part. There are tons of water features and they're all really beautiful with, little pretend, animals doing things in the water, like little, seashells or clams or, starfish and things like that. It's super cute. And then you get inside and right before you go inside, I like this. My kids thought it was incredible. There was actually a themed drinking fountain, which you don't see that in queues. I thought that was kind of a clever addition. And then you start going in and you're basically looking at all these little caves and you're seeing Ariel's, stuff she's hoarded and things like that. It's cute.
Yeah, the girl has a problem.
Are we going to see her in the next episode?
She's on that TLC show, right?
She needs to get on A&E, and they need to stage an intervention.
Now, when they were talking about doing it, there was like Scuttle's like interactive adventure.
There's something. We didn't do it. I won't even pretend I know what you're talking about. But yeah, there was something that was going on. People weren't really sure what it was the day we were going through. But, it took quite a while. It took about 45 minutes. And I noticed that it wasn't quite as long as it took to get through Dumbo. So even with two Dumbos going, Dumbo's still quite a wait as compared to Little Mermaid. But yeah, it was exciting and it was really nice. And then you come out and you have a chance to go into Ariel's grotto and actually meet her. So,
which also has a separate line for waiting. If you want to just do the meet greet with Ariel, you can certainly do that.
Yeah.
The day that we were there, I think there was about a 30-minute wait just to see Ariel and have a picture taken with her.
I think it was about 10 minutes for us.
Not bad.
It wasn't bad at all. And that was a fairly busy day. It went pretty fast, though.
Well, so. I will say that with the Little Mermaid attraction within New Fantasyland, it does have a fast pass line. So if you're not interested in doing Dumbo first thing or not interested in doing Dumbo at all, your focus is New Fantasyland, my suggestion would be get a fast pass for Little Mermaid and then head over to Enchanted Tales, because Enchanted Tales takes some time, like I said, because you're going to be waiting online, and better to do that first thing before the line builds up, before it gets warm out. So you can get that out of the way, see that show, and then come back to Little Mermaid. And, if you still have time, you can shop at Bonjour Village Gifts or go into Gaston's and try a LeFou's brew. I'm curious to see what other people think of it.
I just couldn't bring myself to buy it after you said it was terrible.
Oh, to buy the LeFou's brew drink?
A cast member told me afterwards that I needed to mix the foam top with the drink itself and not taste them separately. That because the foam is more tart and the drink itself is very sweet, that if you mix them, it turns it into a more balanced concoction.
Yeah.
So
I'm sure. They wouldn't want people to have, I'm sure they've tested this and figured out, that the one part is too sweet and the other part's too tart, I don't know. It looked disgusting, I have to be honest. So
it actually was better. Aside from the foam, I thought the drink itself was better than I anticipated. It's just much too sweet. I have the same problem with butterbeer. I love the taste of butterbeer, but I can never drink a full frozen butterbeer.
Oh, God. I love butterbeer. My son and I were like, this is the best thing ever.
Oh, it's what everyone says. It's fantastic. Yeah. Frozen butterbeer is fantastic. But I personally, if I drink more than half of one, it's too sweet and I end up getting a stomachache. So when I was drinking this LeFou's brew, I'm like, wow, this apple, this frozen apple juice, and it's more like a slushy almost.
Yeah.
you know, I was thinking, gosh, it's so sweet. It's a lot sweeter than I thought it would be. I don't think I could finish this. So I couldn't imagine, say, doing a LeFou's brew and a cinnamon roll. I'd be on a sugar high and tweaking like a hummingbird all day long.
It'd be like, you know, passing out and having visions of Wilford Brimley.
The diabetes. I have the diabetes.
Can I actually turn this back a little bit to your sure. So you started talked about the strategy for going into the new Fantasyland expansion. Can I just say that I think that if people fast pass Little Mermaid only, they're really going to miss a whole lot. So if it's your first time on Little Mermaid, deal with the wait and go through the regular line, because the queue is amazing. It's probably the best queue I've been in ever.
Or fast pass it to get on the attraction, and then when you have more time, go back into the queue line.
I suppose you could do that.
Well, what has fast pass right now? Is that it in the new Fantasyland expansion?
Dumbo has it. Yeah.
And Little Mermaid. The Forbidden Journey of the Little Mermaid.
Now, when I was there last time, the Dumbo fast pass was over by Fantasmic. Is that still where it is, or
it's on the Fantasmic? You know where the little
mm-hmm. or not by Fantasmic, by
Philhar Magic
thing.
Wake up, okay. Steve.
Yeah,
no, it's
whatever.
By do you know where it's by? It's by the you know where the little water feature is, Casey Jr. and all that. It's behind that. So it's on the it's in that little area where they put Pete's Silly Sideshow. Oh, the other thing that has happened is they did open up that meet and greet with some of the characters. I don't think you get to meet Pete though,
which is kind of a misrepresentation.
I know, I'm disappointed because I love Pete the Cat.
You just like cats.
I was going to say it's a cat. Of course you do.
Pete the Cat. You know why I like Pete the Cat? Because he's so bad. I mean, Disney has tried to reform him in the last few years, but he used to be like this terrible cat who was always getting into trouble. But now he's just dumb and sweet. So that's his new persona.
Yeah.
I'm never dumb mind. And sweet.
You're not.
And
that
that's
sweet.
Why we love you.
Oh, I'm not that sweet. Nice. Hey,
You're not that dumb either.
I have
a
cup of LeFou's brew in me. I'm plenty sweet.
Yeah, really. That and those orange slushies. And it's a party.
Oh yeah. Break out the handcuffs.
So everyone knows Fantasyland is not the new Fantasyland is not officially open yet. Chris and Bob got lucky during like dress rehearsals, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dress rehearsals and $50 and no,
really? Chris got in for only 20.
Chris is a lady. You know.
Not that day she wasn't.
But it's supposed to open up for when is it? So they have previews, different previews going on, official?
So the soft opening is set for November 19th. Up to that date, it's kind of hit or miss whether you'll get in or not. They are in dress rehearsal, meaning they've been letting people in at select times. But right now, there are a bunch of previews going on between cast member previews and D23 member previews and DVC member previews, annual pass holder previews. So if you're there before the 19th, all we can tell you is stop by and talk to them and see what they tell you. If they tell you they're going to be closed for the afternoon or closed for the day, maybe try back later in your stay and maybe you'll get lucky.
Some theories on which days are better to go too, because you're probably not going to do so well getting in on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But, you know, your Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday's probably pretty good.
I think so too. And I think also if you're really desperate and you're kind of on the fence about going to Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, go to Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party because you will get in during that time. They haven't officially said it, but unofficially they're going to be open for during the party. And just, you know, even on the weekends, they're not doing training at night, so they'll probably go ahead and open it at night. You can't guarantee that. And of course, the Christmas party will get in your way because Sunday nights they have the party. And is it Friday nights also? So, I mean, it might be just a really good time to have, you know, flexibility, maybe even a park hopper. So you could go to one park during the day and then go to Magic Kingdom at night.
Well, that's a good point, too. Have you seen it at night, the new
I did. It's beautiful at night. It's really, they did a really good job with the lighting. I mean, Disney Imagineers, I think the lighting in all the parks is very underrated. You kind of get in there and you sort of notice it, but you don't really notice what a fantastic job they've done. But it's beautiful at night. And I think it'll be even better when the Snow White Seven Dwarfs mine train isn't there sort of blocking everything, when you can get the entire picture.
Yeah, that is another thing that I didn't particularly care for, is right now at least, and I don't know if they'll change this, you're standing in this beautiful open area, you know, Belle's Village or by the Little Mermaid attraction, and you look over and across, and it's this glaring construction scene, metal everywhere, track sticking out. Sure, it's going to look great when it's done, but it pulls you out of, you know, the immersive experience.
Yeah, but you can't complain about that at this point, because that's not the way it's going to be. You're getting a preview, so you have to, you know.
Well,
anything is a gift.
Right. Well, I don't know if it's going to look like that on the 19th when they open for the soft openings, and I don't know if it's going to look like that on December 6th when the official grand opening is, or what they can do. The only thing I think they could probably do is maybe make the construction wall higher to block off what you can see and what you can't see.
Yeah, so it's tough. I remember going to California Adventure for like a year or longer, and there's nothing but construction walls as they slowly open stuff up. So it'll be a mess. For when does that open? That opens in 2014. So you've got
Is it 2013 or 2014?
No, it's set for 2014, but at the speed that they're moving,
yeah.
Every week they're making progress. I would not be surprised to see them open ahead of schedule.
Yeah, we were there in early October, and then we were there around the 18th, and I was like, holy cow, what a huge difference. I mean, literally, I walked around the corner, and I'm like, whoa, there's a lot going on there.
Yeah. So maybe Christmas time in 2013 or sooner.
It certainly could be. I think that this portion of Fantasyland opened earlier than everyone expected or anticipated, certainly earlier than what we were being told. But, you know, as it happens, that's, you know, and that's not a bad thing. I mean, we're grateful that it opened early.
But I think that's Disney's MO. Under promise and over deliver.
Over deliver. Yeah, sure. It's like what they do on rides with wait times. You know, if they say 45 minutes and you get on in 30 or 35.
Right. You know, gotta make them happy. Good.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just amazing the speed that they work at. And now that, you know, a lot of their resources have been freed up for, I guess they can focus on the Snow White attraction.
Yeah, that's the other thing that everyone keeps forgetting about that I was just about to mention, is that the Snow White attraction that's closed and everybody forgets about as part of the expansion. So that's last I read was, you know, still meet and greet type area.
Yes,
they haven't changed it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And I don't think they've done anything with the old Snow White attraction building yet, or nothing that I've seen.
Okay.
Yeah.
But aside from gutting it and making it ready for meet and greets, that's probably, in terms of scope of projects, I'm sure that's not nearly as grand as what they have to do with the Snow White minecart attraction.
Oh, yeah. And that's the one I'm really excited about. But of course, I got to wait a whole nother year.
Oh, you're excited about that, Steve?
Well, I mean, that's the only.
So you can get your picture taken with the princesses?
Yes. No, the minecart. I want to ride.
Oh, sorry.
The roller coaster
piece. I'm like way behind.
Well, yeah, I'm excited to see the whole theming of the area, and then the Little Mermaid queue. And then trying some of the food.
Oh, and before we forget, I did mention briefly Bonjour Village Gifts is in terms of shopping. Within Storybook Circus, of course, there's Big Top Gifts that has merchandise there. Bonjour Village Gifts is the little gift shop inside Be Our Guest Inside Be Our Guest, inside Bell's Village, inside the new Fantasyland. And it's got some exclusive merchandise. It's got some very nice porcelain plates and porcelain coasters you can get. It's got I noticed some glassware that looks like it's specific to that area.
Is that the one that has all the cool wine glasses that everyone's talking about?
Yes.
Yeah.
That is the store. It's not very big at all. Again, keeping with the theme of a village. It's got some cool photo frames. It's got throw pillows that I thought were really nice that said, "Be our guest." And it's got hanging on the wall a picture of Vice President of Operations Phil Holmes. Painted to look like, I honestly thought he looked like Vigo from Ghostbusters 2, but it really is Phil Holmes, Vice President of Operations, which is interesting that they would have him painted in character there. But I he must have obviously been instrumental in some way in bringing this to the park to have his picture hanging there. So neat little shop, but yeah, very small. And but it's nice to see that they're not, you know, there are a few things that are found anywhere else in the park, but it's nice to see that they've got some exclusive merchandise as well that you know, you won't find walking into the Main Street Emporium.
And well, that's
hopefully
cool.
And hopefully that continues into the future.
Yeah. It's nice with Disneyland when we went over there to see some specific Cars Land merchandise and Buena Vista Street merchandise, and that'll be nice for Fantasyland. And then there's also rumors that they might do something over at Haunted Mansion and maybe do a gift shop. It'd be nice to see some specialty merchandise there.
I was just talking with Donna about this today. We were saying it's really the only attraction that doesn't seem to have a gift shop that it empties out into. Right? I mean, everything else, Pirates and all the other more current attractions, they all have a gift shop attached.
What about Little Mermaid? Does that go out into a gift shop, or does it just go out to the aerial?
It just kind of empties out, and then you can go over to the aerial thing if you want.
Okay.
There's not a ton of, like, I was surprised that the gift shop didn't have a lot of stuff in it. And the stuff they had was a tiny bit more high end. Mm-hmm. You know, there wasn't a lot of stuff for kids, which I guess is good because I'm kind of sick of seeing all the toys and stuff. And there's a bazillion places for that. But it was surprising that they didn't have that wide of a selection. I have been told that there'll be more stuff in there as they go on. So.
Oh, then the other controversy is that they're going to serve wine and be our guest. Is that, now that you've seen it, does it make it make you feel one way or another about it?
I went in there and I instantly wanted to tie one on.
You were like, yeah.
Yeah.
Now I know why they're serving wine.
I think that, you know, Mouse Chat is probably the last podcast to complain about alcohol being served there, although we're all sort of teetotalers when it comes right down to it. But, no big deal.
Speak for yourself, Missy.
I object to this. I'm not a teetotaler. They get drunk on one Disney cruise.
Lisa has never had a touch of alcohol in her life, except for that one thing she had at Remy that was probably made with alcohol. But other than that, that tomato thing, they make that with vodka.
Well, if it was burned out, that's fine. And they knew that when I ordered all my food, it was an alcohol-free dinner.
Do you know what, though? They're probably back in the kitchen going, ha-ha, who cares? I'm kidding. I'm just playing with you. You know I'm
twirling their fine French mustaches with their finger and smoking their French cigarettes.
This is a French restaurant. We don't care.
Yes.
Great.
Stupid the mannequin. And why does my French accent sound Russian?
That's true.
Seriously, I mean, we're not big drinkers. I mean, Steve's the only wino in the bunch. Steve and Lauren, you know, and even Steve's not really a drinker. So
I don't know. I mean, I can see both sides of the argument because, you know, Walt's wishes were no alcohol within the Magic Kingdom. And that's true of Disneyland. Yes, you can get alcohol at Club 33, but you can't just waltz into Club 33. See what I did there? Waltz.
I like that.
Yeah. Right. Nice. Thinking. So I can see that side of the argument. On the other hand, I don't see this as, you know, they're not going to put alcohol into plastic cups and let people walk around with it.
Which is too bad, because they could turn it into like New Orleans, where you just go up to a window. Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Do you think, does anybody here think that if it is successful in selling wine and beer at dinner at Be Our Guest, that it will expand to other restaurants within the Magic Kingdom, like Tony's or Liberty Tree Tavern?
I will tell you that we ate at Liberty Tree Tavern last time, and the waitress was joking about it. She said, "Oh, you just wait. There'll be beer and wine here before you know it." And then she was making cracks about how the parents all need it. I mean, she's pretty funny. But yeah, so they're already, you know, there's obviously people thinking about it. Whether or not it will actually happen, I don't think it will. But, you know, if it does, whatever.
What do you think, Steve?
Lisa? I don't know. It doesn't bother me either way, because I don't think it's going to be like Epcot during Food and Wine Festival,
which
or drink around the world. I mean, I don't think people are going to go drink around Magic Kingdom.
Well, Magic Kingdom doesn't lend itself to that.
Yeah.
You know, and look at Hollywood Studios. Hollywood Studios, you can get alcohol almost everywhere. And the only time I've ever seen kind of drunk people was during Star Wars weekend. Otherwise, you know, people manage it. And it's so expensive. You have to have a lot of money in your pocket to actually get drunk.
And the thing with Be Our Guest restaurant as well is they're not serving Budweiser.
Yeah. Yeah.
These are supposed to be finer French wines and finer quality beers in keeping with the theme that you are in a French castle. So,
well,
we shall see.
I was going to jump in with my take on it.
Sure.
At first, I didn't like the idea. You know, alcohol was never intended to be in there. But now that it's here, going to be there. To keep it out of other restaurants at this point is a moot point. So I
think it fits the theme.
It fits the theme, but it also fits with Tony's.
Well, yeah, I guess it kind of does.
And also with Liberty Tree, it's a sit down family restaurant, and I think wine would go well there, I guess.
I could see it going well with French and Italian food.
I don't know.
Don't you,
trust me, there was plenty of wine in Liberty Tree Tavern when we were there.
Mm.
Oh, you meant wine to drink.
Right. I was going to say, there's plenty of whining from the kids.
Yeah, from mine.
But, I mean, I think Disney's probably also cognizant of the fact that there are people who are likely sneaking alcohol into the Magic Kingdom anyway.
Yeah.
No.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know. It's shocking. I
Bob, have you ever done that?
Strapped a flask to my chest and
yes.
No. No. I'm very much not a drinker, so I mean, I will drink from time to time, but it just doesn't do anything for me. So, and if I wanted to drink that badly and I was at the Magic Kingdom, I'd probably just hop on a monorail and go to the Polynesian.
You just do shots on the monorail and then
exactly.
Hurry up. Three more shots. We're almost there.
Every time they say, por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas, everybody does a shot.
That could be an actual game. That's the sad part.
Yeah,
I'm sure it is.
Yeah, I mean, by the time you got to the TTC, you would be plastered.
Yeah. And you do that very well, Bob.
Well, thank you. It's all those years of Italian, and I think I took one semester of Spanish in college, and that's about the extent of my Spanish, right there. So if I ever need to say, "Please stand clear of the doors," in a in
you don't
Spain.
Realize how often that comes up in life.
I mean,
constantly.
Well, it's more than my pencil is yellow.
That's so random and yet very representative of like a ninth grade Spanish class.
That's it.
Yeah, see, that this is the kind of things that they teach you when you're taking instructional Spanish or beginner Italian. You know, the monkey is on the table. When will I ever use that sentence?
The monkey is on earlier.
Yeah, it's on the table bed at Art of Animation.
Oh,
you missed that part. Okay, well, that'll wrap up this week's show. Thank you to pixievacations.com for sponsoring the podcast. You can download our shows at mousechat.net, or you can go to iTunes and do it there. Please send us your comments and questions to comments@mousechat.net. Please don't forget to vote for us at podcastawards.com, bottom of the page to the travel section, and click on Mouse Chat. Please join us again here next time on Mouse Chat.